25,000 teachers remain on the picket lines in Chicago today. One of the big sticking points in contract negotiations is how to grade teacher performance. Chicago teachers object to using student test scores in their evaluations, even though teachers here in Boston and in Los Angeles have agreed to that demand. One striking teacher, Aaron Searles of Lloyd Elementary School in Chicago, told us that standardized test scores need to be improved, but that teachers can be evaluated in other ways.
I do think that it's important for teachers to be held accountable for whether or not their teaching is actually promoting success with their students.
So how do you grade teachers, and what's fair? Sandy Jacobs is with the nonpartisan National Council on Teacher Quality. She joins us from Michigan Radio in Ann Arbor. Sandy, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks so much for having me with you.
And Sandy, why don't we start in Chicago? How does that city want to change the way that teacher performance is judged, and what are the concerns from educators there?
Well, Illinois, like many states in the last couple of years, has changed its state law in a real overhaul of how teachers are evaluated. In the past, we've measured teacher performance in very, very superficial ways. We've used very checklisty approaches. And now that we know, you know, research is so strong and clear about just how much teachers matter inside the school building, nothing matters more than the quality of a teacher to whether or not students achieve. And because we know that, we're putting a lot more focus on whether or not teachers are effective. And the law in Illinois, like the law in many other states, now requires evidence of student performance to be part of how teachers are evaluated.
It seems that what's fueling this move to change the way teacher performance is judged is the Race to the Top program, which offers federal grants to states that agree to implement certain standards. Could you give us a sense of the lay of the land there and how widespread this push to change evaluations is?
Yeah, so what's really interesting is that, you know, when the Race to the Top competition came along in 2009, no doubt the federal government putting so much money and so much focus on the topic of teacher evaluation certainly sparked movement in a lot of states. But what was really interesting is that the following year, in 2010, after the Race to the Top competition was over and only a dozen states got the grants, we still saw states moving to change their teacher evaluation policies. To date, we've seen more than 33 states have made changes, you know, some very large, some very small, in their requirements around teacher evaluation.
The idea that would link teacher evaluations to student test scores, many teachers are really pushing back on that. Why do they find that so controversial?
There's a couple of things driving that. One is under the No Child Left Behind law, which has been, you know, the law of the land for about a decade now, teachers are very familiar with standardized tests. And the No Child Left Behind requirements just measure who reaches proficiency. Whether you moved kids an inch or whether you moved them a mile, whether they met that proficiency bar is the only thing that matters. And teachers are very uncomfortable that their evaluations might be judged the same way. But what we see is that states and districts are not looking to use those kinds of systems that just look at proficiency at all. They're looking at much more sophisticated measures of growth.
So a student who even makes progress, a teacher might get credit for that, even if the progress doesn't mean you're getting an A+.
Exactly.
Now, student test scores are one way teachers are being graded. How else is their performance being evaluated?
Yeah, I think that's really important. So another thing that I think is really worrying teachers is they are concerned that the test scores are going to be the only measure of their performance. And I don't know of a system that's being designed or in use anywhere in the country that's based just on student test scores. Another part of these new evaluation systems is much more sophisticated and more tailored observation systems that really get at the instructional practice. Does the teacher have good questioning techniques? Is the teacher able to keep all students focused? Does the teacher know how to help the kids who don't grasp the material so quickly while also helping the kids who do grasp it, you know, not sit idly by and not just come into a classroom as we've done in the past and say, you know, these bulletin boards look nice and the room is orderly and the kids are engaged, so therefore the instruction must be good.
On that issue of multiple measures of a teacher and how to evaluate them, my husband is a public school teacher in Massachusetts, and he was on a committee that was trying to set up new evaluation standards, and it included things like how do you start your class, how do you end your class, but also what is your involvement in extracurricular activities? And that became very controversial because some teachers had an easier time going to soccer games and school plays, for example, if they didn't have kids of their own. So it seems like everything is being thrown into the mix.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we're trying to keep and make sure that the instruction stays at the focus, but these issues of professional practice outside the classroom are certainly factoring in as well. I've seen in many states where teachers have been involved in developing the standards that it's really been a push from teachers that they want those professional practices included as well.
Because it seems like it also has potential to create strife between teachers. You know, if you are married with kids and you have a childless colleague and you can't go to the same amount of after-school events, then you might feel like you're being unfairly compared.
Yeah, I think that's right. The things that I'm hearing about more as sort of the outside the classroom things are about collaborating with colleagues, making sure that there's contact with parents. So I haven't heard that extracurricular piece too commonly. And I'd say it's making sure if it's just one in a list of many things and it's not going to really impact the overall evaluation.
You mentioned that in the past, as you described it, teachers were evaluated sort of superficially, and that also connected to how they were paid. How is that part of the equation changing, tying teacher pay to performance?
Well, that's just starting to change. You know, what we've had is teachers are paid in a very lockstep schedule, and the only way you can move across the schedule is to gain years of experience, and there's nothing you can do to make that happen any quicker, or by accumulating more credits towards advanced degrees. And the research has shown really, really conclusively that in most cases, the advanced degrees that teachers are getting do not impact their classroom performance. So we have a system that's structured in a way that there's no bang for the buck, and teachers are really locked in a way that they can't really control. There are three states now, Indiana, Florida, and Idaho, that told their school districts, you're still going to set your own pay schedules, but if you're going to use that traditional schedule that still includes the years of experience and the advanced degrees, you also have to include performance in a significant way.
That's Sandy Jacobs of the Nonpartisan National Council on Teacher Quality talking to us about how school districts are working to change the way they evaluate teachers. Up next, how teachers and administrators in Delaware are working together to change their system. And later in the show, actress turned author Molly Ringwald. Back in a minute, here and now. Welcome back to our conversation about the debate over how to fairly grade the performance of teachers. We've been speaking to Sandy Jacobs, Vice President and Managing Director of the Nonpartisan National Council on Teacher Quality. Sandy, Delaware was one of the first states to receive Race to the Top funding, and it's the head of the game in redesigning the way teacher performance is measured. What exactly is Delaware doing?
What's interesting in Delaware is they were at a little bit of an advantage because it's a small state and they already had a statewide evaluation system. So there was already a framework in place. And one of the things that Delaware's done that's so interesting is when we use student test scores, there's only so many grades and subjects that actually take those standardized tests. If you are a gym teacher or an art teacher or a first grade teacher, a high school science teacher, you know, your students aren't tested in your subjects on those standardized tests. So what Delaware did was they brought together practitioner groups across every grade and subjects to sit and really brainstorm what appropriate outcome measures might be for students in those grades and subjects. So it's been very, very teacher-led and teacher-driven.
We saw a Bloomberg story that talks about a Delaware High School technology teacher who was being graded on how well his students did on math and reading assessment tests. Do you know how that was resolved? And then what do you think the lesson is there for other states?
Yeah, I think that's so unfortunate when we hear stories like that. So because of the Race to the Top initiative, Delaware and the other states that got those federal grants had to stick to the federal timelines. And in the first year, which was this past school year, they didn't have the kinds of systems in place that I just described where all the teachers were involved of developing the measures. That's first hitting the ground in this school year. And so last year they used school-wide measures, very, very imperfect. But there were no consequences attached to that in that first year. It was really just a trial year, and they certainly will be moving away from that in the future.
New York State is trying to implement a new teacher evaluation system, and as we've read about it, it isn't going very well. So far, fewer than 100 of the state's 700 school districts have approved plans, and that includes the largest system in the state, New York City. It hasn't approved a plan yet. So how is New York trying to change the system?
Well, what's tricky in states like New York, there are some states that, you know, laid out more of the framework at the state level. And then there are states like New York where they laid out some general principles. But as it moves down to the district level, much of the system is still subject to collective bargaining. And so you have some real tension there between the teachers' unions and the districts and what they want to see happen, particularly when, in many cases, what the teachers' union objects to is the state guidelines, but that's already set in law. So they've been very complex, very complicated negotiations, and many, many districts in New York have been unable to reach agreement.
I believe the way it works in New York is that the state has laid out a broad outline for job performance reviews, and 40% of it would be a teacher's evaluation based on tests or some other gauge of student learning, 60% based on principals' observations or a more subjective measure. But the local school districts are allowed to work out the details themselves. Now, that sounds potentially chaotic.
Yeah, well, I don't know that it's necessarily chaotic for the district to do it. I think it becomes more chaotic when it's all subject to negotiation and bargaining. First, you need to get all the parties to the table. You know, in some places, they haven't even really been able to do that, especially when there's already a lot of tension between the school districts and the teachers' union.
In New York, one consequence of each local district being able to work out details is that, for example, in Schenectady, state math and English tests account for 40% of a teacher's performance score. But in Binghamton, it's 20%. Critics say that ends up watering down the state standards when you have those differences.
We're so early on in this work that it's hard to envision that we're going to have systems that are entirely comparable across the state. But I think it is quite possible that what gets you an effective rating in Schenectady would not get you an effective rating in Binghamton, or vice versa. And that does become very confusing both for teachers and to the public.
In some places, they've started to publish test scores of students in different classrooms. In L.A., the L.A. Times took it upon itself to do it, and I believe New York City itself is doing it in terms of math and English, so that you can look up how well students in a certain teacher's class performed. You think that's a bad idea. Why do you think so?
Well, I think it's really important for parents and the public to have confidence that their kids have effective teachers. And the way we do this is by developing systems, you know, where we know we're evaluating our teachers, we know we're getting them support and assistance to do better, and we are removing teachers who, with that support and assistance, still, you know, just aren't getting the job done. And I think it's really important to publish aggregate data that looks across school buildings and across school districts, so that parents can see, you know, if there are dramatic differences between one school and the school down the street. But at the individual level, I just don't think it's helpful to have that information publicized. We don't want to shame our teachers into leaving if they're ineffective. We should be able to dismiss an ineffective teacher.
You know, generally speaking, the overall effect of this seems to be that teachers feel under attack, you know, further underappreciated. How do you see this resolving, given that that is some of their instincts?
Well, the rhetoric has been so heated on every side. You know, it's not surprising that teachers are feeling so attacked, especially when so many issues affecting teachers have come under the spotlight. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, people like me who spend all day talking about these topics know that, you know, most of our teachers are out there doing a great, great job. We've been too tolerant for too long of the small percentage of teachers who consistently don't get the job done. And we haven't been helpful enough to all our teachers to help them grow and develop and improve. We see there's so much common ground around these issues, and it's really a shame when the rhetoric becomes so heated that it's easy to see why teachers feel so attacked.
And it will obviously be a difficult path politically and emotionally to get there.
Yes, it will.
Sandy Jacobs is Vice President and Managing Director of the National Council on Teacher Quality. She joined us from Michigan Radio in Ann Arbor, and she's been talking with us about the different ways that states are looking at evaluating teacher performance. Sandy, thank you.
Thank you so much.
What do you think? Should student test scores factor into how teachers are evaluated? Should teacher pay be linked to teacher performance? Go to hearandnow.org and let us know what you think. Tomorrow on Here and Now, how easy is it to cheat in a marathon? One man not only faked winning, he made up entire races so he could declare himself the victor. We'll hear how he pulled that off. That's tomorrow. News is next, Here and Now.